The industry's seen some big announcements from Oracle lately, from improving the cadence of JDK releases to every 6 months, to the trial balloon they floated about moving the Java platform to an open source foundation like Apache or Eclipse. I figured there wouldn't be any organization impacted more by these types of announcements than one that makes their living by packaging enhanced versions of the JVM. So I got in touch with Gil Tenne of Azul and asked him what he thought about the proposed new release cycle, and given the platform's track record, if he thought a new release every 6 months was even possible.
Well, it's been, even every 2 years has been a struggle. But yeah, if you look at the timing across them, I do think there's a challenge here, but the biggest part of the challenge is sticking to the plan. I think that actually, thinking back to, I think it was, we spoke a while back when Java 7 came out. Right as it came out, and I think one of the things I said back then is that the most important feature of Java 7 was that it came out on the date that they said it would come out on. And that was a big deal. And then, same with Java 8. Java 8 slipped, but at least it slipped with plenty of forewarning, right? So a year ahead, they said that it'll take an extra 6 months, right? And that's important for people who are planning to what they're going to do and whether they wait for certain features. But I do think it's certainly feasible, but it would take the discipline of absolutely saying we are not holding back a release for any feature, right? Releases are going out the door with zero features. Then you can stick to it, right? There's going to be a release on this day, and they're naming the dates, right? There's going to only be .03 and .09. There's no other months in the year.
Well, a zero feature release doesn't actually sound that compelling.
To start with, in practical terms, there's never a release with no features. Somebody added two methods to some class, that's a feature. And if one of the things that I think people may not appreciate as much about Java is that the meaning of a Java release so far, and it will stay the meaning of every 6 months here, is between these Java feature releases, between Java 6, 7, 8, and 9, there is zero change. There are only bug fixes and performance updates and security updates, but there is zero functional change. There's not a single new method added, not a single new class added. There's nothing removed. The way that's enforced is there's actually a specification for what Java 8 is, and that specification doesn't change until a Java 9 comes out. So you can't have a Java 8 and a little bit, right? That just doesn't exist. That same meaning, is my understanding, is the way the six-month releases would be. Those every 6 months, there will be a change to the specification. Anything you want to change has to go into that change. It could be one method in the entire release. It could be, 1,000. It could be, a new language feature. It could be none, right? But in practical terms, you're never going to get zero, right? But the main thing is there won't be any feature that can hold a release hostage. There won't be anything that'll say, no, this isn't quite done yet, or it's not quite stable yet, so we need to wait. It's not the release that'll wait, it's the feature that'll wait.
So from your perspective, do you see this as a better approach to managing releases?
And I think that's a very healthy model. It's a model that most of the industry has sort of moved to, if you look at it, like the Ubuntu releases on that kind of cycle. Ubuntu releases every 6 months. Every 2 years is a long-term support release. It's labeled as such. People know that the even year in April is when the Ubuntu release is long-term support and long-term production worthy. So, 1204, 1404, 1604, there'll be an 1804 next year. Those are the long-term support, very stable releases. In between, we'll do three other releases between these, and they will add features to them, but those might not stick around as stable.
So who are the stakeholders that benefit the most from this six-month release cadence?
So I think that it's So the 6 month cadence is very much a good thing for the development part, for the feature introduction, for people who want to use or experiment or play with the latest features and not have to wait 3 years every time until new things appear. I think the very important thing to realize, though, that goes hand in hand with it, and this is neither good or bad, it's just new and different, is that by coming to this path, the actual production deployment, operational behavior of anybody running on Java has just been completely turned upside down or completely needs to be rethought.
So how will this change the way organizations manage releases as compared to the way they managed releases in the past?
If you think of what the established behavior has been up to now, and this is since the inception of Java pretty much, when a major Java release came out, which is that thing with new features and a new spec, everybody knew that the .0 version of that is not something you're going to run responsibly on production, right? I mean, it's done, it's GA, the features are frozen, there will not be any change to the spec, but this thing might crash, might have compatibility issues, might still have some stability things that need to be baked out with experience, right? And then it takes several months, usually somewhere between 6 and 12 months, until you get to enough updates of that thing that put in fixes that, so that it works with everything and it's stable and it's time to really go to production. That thing then becomes the latest good thing to run. It's not on the day the GA comes in, it's a couple updates later. So now if you look at how people go about, say, adopting a Java 8, you don't go to production with Java 8 on the day people come out with the GA of Java 8. People waited about 8 to 12 months before they did that. It was not until about update 25 or update 40 that it was mature. But once you reach that, that was the right release to move to, right? It was better than running a Java 7 or 6. If you could move to it, you should, all that kind of stuff.
So how does all of this comply with modern agile and DevOps type of approaches to enterprise software development and operations management?
If you think of how IT and DevOps or ops in general work, you know, if you've got some application that you're targeting, you need to know what version of Java to target to and when you're going to deploy it. And you want to pick the version of Java that's going to be good at the time you deploy, but also that will stay good. That, you know, 2 years later, if you want a security update, you don't have to redo your software and, you know, recompile your applications or something. You can just run the same code for a long time to come and get good updates for it. Within any major Java release so far, you knew that. If you started with Java 8, you'll get updates for a long time. If you started with 7, you'll get updates for a long time. The news that comes with the 6 months release cycle and the new terminology that was added is the long-term support releases. And I assume you've seen some of that, or have you?
Yeah.
Right. So we can think of Java 8 as a long-term support release, but the first long-term support release that comes after Java 8 is planned to be Java 18.9, which is the September 2018 release. Right? And that release will have new features in it, right? That will be what we would have normally thought of as a Java 10 or 11 or whatever that is. There'll be a version spec change, a version change. Not everything will never necessarily work on it as is, but once you move to it, that one will have long-term support updates for many years to come, right?
Okay, now, what happens in the scenario, though, where you've got an organization that, say, wants to move to Java 9 in 12 months' time?
So you can go to production. There is a Java 9 GA. It's going to be something like a year old, probably production-worthy at that point. You can run it. That's fine. And if you're one of these companies that has a continuous development, deployment, you know, team and your application keeps living and being developed for many years to come, then this is fine. This is what you want to be on. But what if you have an application that you've built and you're done with and you want the developers to move on and work on other things, or maybe you don't even have those developers anymore? and it's built for Java 9. You're kind of stuck in an interesting situation because 2 years later, there's not going to be a security update for the Java 9 that you can run now. 2 years later, if you want a security update, you're going to need to move to 18.9, and moving to 18.9 might mean that you need to rehire those developers.
So that puts DevOps and development teams in a bit of a bind. How do people in other parts of the industry deal with those types of situations?
Now, the way people historically deal with that situation, and there's no trickiness here, they're actually naming it for what it is, the exact same thing applies to any other long-term support or not long-term support choices. So people who want long-term stable production deployments deploy on long-term supported releases. They don't deploy on interim releases, right? So people who use Ubuntu in production usually stick to the LTS releases. They'll do a 14.04 and then move to a 16.04. They might play with the ones in the middle, but they're not going to deploy in production in the ones in the middle unless they know that the applications they're doing it on are actively being developed all the time anyway, so it's okay. Right? But anything that they want to be able to leave behind for a long time and let it keep running, they do it on long-term support releases. The same kind of choice will need to apply now to Java. Where we used to know I could go to any Java version because all of them will eventually have a long-term support roadmap, only the LTS releases are the ones that have that promise now. And Java 9 is not an LTS release under the current plan. That is big news.
Now, what's your take on Oracle's recent announcement that they want to push the Java platform towards an open source foundation for long-term management?
There are multiple parts that have been discussed. One is more community participation in the updates of new releases, right? More contribution towards the kind of the top of tree new feature part. I think that I'm actually very happy to see Oracle go in that direction because, you know, I think that there've been we've contributed some. Red Hat's been contributing things, but predominantly OpenJDK was very much an Oracle-dominated thing from the contribution perspective. And I think it's important for everyone for that to include other companies and to shift the work. So, you know, we could sit on the sidelines and complain about how Oracle controls everything, but if they're the only ones contributing, well, we don't have the right to complain, right? But enabling a lot more contribution, and I think this process will enable more contribution, is useful and important. The other part, though, is if you put aside just the contribution towards new features and look at the longer-term maintenance part as well, I think that healthy things have already been happening. So, for example, Java 8 today is OpenJDK 8 is a project that's led by Oracle. Oracle does the contributions, decisions, and everything else. And they'll keep doing that as long as they're the ones updating it. But at some point, they're going to move on and not update Java 8 anymore. Right? They're going to be on to the latest release, and there's going to be that question of who updates Java 8? Who fixes the security bugs in OpenJDK 8, you know, 3 years from now? And I think that the really good news there is we already have good established precedent for how that works. I don't know if you're aware that the project lead for OpenJDK 7 is not Oracle, it's Red Hat. And the project lead for OpenJDK 6 is not Oracle, it's Azure. So that's an example where we've taken up the responsibility of keeping that OpenJDK release up to date with bug fixes and security updates that come from upstream. That isn't coming from Oracle anymore. That's a pure community effort. And I think we'll see more of that, right? So it's enabled. Oracle is not just allowing us to do it. They're cooperating with us. We get good access to the security concerns and other things that are fixed upstream. We have the ability to take those same security concerns and fix them in all the releases. That's a working thing that happens today. And I think we'll just see more of it happening the same way. So in essence, I'm not worried about the shift because we already have a working process for what releases, right? The one that is a year old or 2 years old to be the ones that's 3 years old or 6 years old, but talking about that just happening more rapidly.
So looking back over the past 7 years that Oracle's had ownership of Java, do you think being thrust into the position of being stewards of the Java platform has been a curse or a blessing for Oracle?
I don't know if I'd choose either one of those. I mean, they're certainly the stewards of the language. I think they've done a fair job with it. It's a tough job. You probably wouldn't find me on the side of the strong criticizing of Oracle not doing a good job of stewardship. I actually think that if you compare the progress of Java, the language, and Java SE, the platform under Oracle, since the Sun acquisition and in the 5 years that preceded it, Oracle did a great job and a much better job at it than Sun did. Sun was sort of in the mud. Java 7 was about 5 years late, and Oracle took it out of the mud and actually delivered. So, and then Java 8 came, and then we got Lambdas out, and we have Java 9 now. So as much as things weren't, you know, on the ideal schedule, there was actual delivery and actual movement.
Now, these couple of feel-good announcements have come from Oracle about a month or two before Java 1, which happens at the beginning of October. Now, in the past, we've seen Oracle do some fairly bad PR moves before Java 1. There was the whole lawsuit against James Gosling. There was the kicking him out of the Java 1 floor for wearing a free Java t-shirt. There was also, I think, 2 years ago where they fired all of their Java evangelists just a month before the conference. And all of these things were PR nightmares. Would you say that Oracle's getting a bit better at handling PR when it comes to Java?
I think they've understood PR for a really long time, but in many parts of Oracle's business, they just didn't care. In Java, I think they seem to care, and there are other parts that they also care in. So look, I mean, obviously we know about the Java evangelist stuff because, you know, we hired Simon when Oracle was doing that, and I think for us that was we managed to get a great Java evangelist at Azul because Oracle decided they don't want to do that anymore, right? But in general, there's certainly been a lot of shifts in Oracle around Java engineering, Java, how Java fits into the overall picture. But I don't see any indications of them backing off of the language or the platform. I'm certainly hopeful that the things that we're seeing both about Java EE and about Java SE are not the, oh, just give it to open source and let's stop investing in it, but more actual give it to open source and let's keep working on it. I personally care a lot more about Java SE than Java EE, but I think for both of them, the move recently where they basically set a roadmap for Java EE going to be an open source project, I think that's a very good move. A lot of people who have been very critical of Oracle, I think, are very happy with the decision. And with Java SE, this is Java SE has been open source since OpenJDK 6. But I think this is just an evolution in the development cycle. And, you know, you asked about Azul with this, and for us, one is, obviously, we're certainly watching this very closely and making sure we're up to date and understanding on what the actual things that will happen are. I think overall from a Java pace and development, we see this as very positive. And I actually think it creates some interesting new opportunities for us on the support side because this long-term support picture that is new creates a much stronger need for people to have a long-term supported stable thing to work with. And while Oracle has Oracle JDK and OpenJDK as well, we'll have good releases. I think we've become pretty known for having good responsible builds and supported builds of OpenJDK and of Java, and it gives us the opportunity to maybe give good very good support and maybe even support between the long-term support releases that could help, that could let people bridge the kind of conflict I described before.
Now, I've got the feeling that a lot of these announcements were almost like trial balloons where they wanted to gauge the reaction of the greater community as a whole. How set in stone are these types of ideas that they're pushing out about 6 months release and pushing Java towards an open source foundation and things like that?
All this is new stuff. I'm working off of my understanding of both the announcement of the blogs and conversations on the JCP and elsewhere. And based on my understanding right now, Java 9 is not a long-term support release, right? But this could change, right? I wouldn't be surprised if there actually is some sort of uproar and Oracle responds by saying, you know what, we'll also make Java 9 an LTS release. Just do not open it, right? Just as it stands, the official plans are not to have LTS for Java 9, and that is big news.